Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Marjorie Pabst, the host of Caregiver and Physician Conversations, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I am a speaker, facilitator, and the co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey, a book of practical tips and tools for maintaining balance and personal resiliency while caregiving. The purpose of our show is to provide practical information and tips for both family and professional caregivers, particularly on how to build meaningful, collaborative conversations between caregivers and their families and medical professionals. Our topic today is very relevant to this purpose: building a network of professionals and volunteers who serve older adults. As always, we'll be taking calls from you, so contact us at 347-857-3399, and do touch 1 when prompted. Joining me today is our guest, Mr. Charlie Pierce. Mr. Pierce is a longtime advocate for topics relating to an aging population. We are so lucky to have him in Central Florida, where he has created a network of people who serve aging members of our communities, and that includes caregivers. Charles Pierce retired as president of the Florida Hospital Association in 2002, and for the next 8.5 years, he taught at the University of Central Florida in the Health Management Department. Although currently his volunteer efforts are with the YMCA of Central Florida and the Winter Park Health Foundation, he is also fully engaged as a grandfather. Most recently, Charlie Pierce has developed a consortium of professionals. He's pulled us all together from a wide spectrum of agencies, churches, hospitals, hospices, and individuals who created a conference last year called Enriching Our Journey for Long Life. It was a splendid success, and this year a second conference will be offered on November the 8th. Mr. Charles Pierce, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you and those who are listening.
You know, Charlie, when I first met you, you were and you still are a real mover and shaker of our Central Florida group of professionals working with our aging population in universities, churches, agencies like Alzheimer's Resource Centers, hospices, the Orange County Council on Aging, caregiving. The list goes on and on. Would you describe your vision for bringing these professionals together, and what were you hoping to accomplish in our community?
Well, Marjorie, I really had a very, very simple idea. And I really was not intending to create a network. What I wanted to do was to showcase the services that are currently available for older adults in Central Florida. My focus was not on the professionals and the volunteers, but the general community. I had a rather naive perception. I know the accurate part was that folks don't know much about the services available, but I also had a kind of naive thought that people would want to learn about these things. So I created this conference, and it was, it was a two-day conference, actually the same conference, one day Friday, the second day Saturday. Here was my surprise. Friday, the conference sold out. The conference center, the Canterbury Conference and Retreat Center, only holds about 180, and we had 180, and most of them were professionals in the field. Well, the next day, Saturday, which I thought was going to be also overwhelmed with people from the community, had about 90 people. So what I discovered and didn't realize that there really is a thirst among professionals and significant volunteers to share their concerns and ideas. One gentleman told me later when I told him my surprise, he's a real pro in the field. He said, you know, Charlie, people don't really think about these services until there's a crisis in their family. And yeah. I think he's right.
Yes, yes. That is so interesting. And I know that in talking with other people who work with caregivers and then also professionals, they've found the same to be true. What if you looked into your crystal ball, would you say, do you think that this attitude is going to change, that people more and more may begin to become aware of the importance of planning and looking ahead and around this whole issue of aging and caregiving?
Well, that's a very thoughtful question, and I can only give you my own little glimpse. I think, one, we're running uphill against some very strong cultural values. We remain a society that believes youth-oriented, and people want to stay young as long as they possibly can. And there's clearly a strong fear of aging and a real fear of death. And until we kind of mature and start to understand that aging and death are part of a natural cycle, I don't expect much change. Now, I do know that there are people like yourself and many others who are working hard in the field to try to bring us to a greater stage of maturity in our society. So I always remain optimistic that cultural values can change. And this is one that I think will change, but I would be unwilling to predict when.
Yes, exactly. So for this original conference, how did you actually create and organize the conference? Did you have a thought, kind of a big picture in mind, or did you... for our listeners who might want to do the same thing out there in their respective communities, how did you get going, I guess, would be an important question.
Well, I'd be happy to share my experience. One, now that I'm fully retired, there was an intense time commitment. What I did was I had taught this course at the University of Central Florida, Healthcare Needs of the Elderly. And you don't need any expertise to do what I did. But what that course did was, in fact, I was unwilling to teach it unless they would let me bring in five people who really knew what they were doing in the field, which I was able to do. And then what I was on the board of the Canterbury Conference and Retreat Center, and I was just thinking about it one day and said, look, they don't have any conferences in June. I know five people who are experts in this field here in Central Florida. I created a list of topics, and you could pick up any magazine article and create the same topics. And what I did was I went to those five, told them my idea was to create this conference. Would they be willing to volunteer their time and effort and be on a panel? And could they suggest people who could address the other topics? I had topics like the aging process, spirituality, positive aging, caregiving for caregivers, keeping connected, the family. And to my surprise, Alzheimer's kept coming up as a hot button issue. Well, Marjorie, after about 3 months, I had a list, which I call my resource list, of 70 people. Now, I think anybody can do that. All you really need is one person in the field, and he or she will connect you with many others. And then it was just a matter of getting people being willing to address. All I gave them was the subject matter, and I said, you just speak from your experience. Then we organized it, got the word out, and that's how it came about.
That is so Yeah, and so it's real is really an evolution and a branching system from one of taking these five people and just letting them roll it out to more and more people. That's great.
I would share with you that my favorite meeting spot became a local coffee shop, and so that became my outpost. And I met more interesting people at this. And I would say, I'll be the guy with the white hair and a book under my left arm. And that's how I met most of the people.
That's just great. And, you know, that's a terrific idea, too, is to meet in a more casual setting. I think that brings out the best in all of us. And so that's a terrific idea, too, to just
the other
have
point,
sort of a neutral space.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that reminds me of a comment that several of them made. Most of the people didn't know who I was, but I would say, well, I'm a friend of, and give Randy Hunt's name, and that kind of added a little legitimacy. But several people commented that they were quite willing to work with me because I didn't represent any special constituency, and I truly didn't. So I think if there are volunteers out there who are thinking, boy, we could use a con, and you can start small. You could do it at a church. You could do it at a community place like a YMCA or a senior center. I think it can, but be willing, give yourself a lot of lead time. I probably took about 18 months from when I first started to when the conference went on.
Yes. And, you know, I would also emphasize that in addition to professionals in the field, the caregivers out there listening today, if you think, well, gosh, this would be a really important thing in my community, most counties, I think, Charlie, don't they? Most counties have a council on aging.
they're, or groups of counties. Yeah, the country is covered with these area aging agencies. So that would be a great place to begin. And they have, the one here in Central Florida has been an enormous asset to helping me get the word out, connect with other people. Be a great place to go.
Yeah. So if you're a caregiver, you know, let's do a grassroots effort. Get together with a couple other folks and go and ask, is there going to be a place where we can come together with a variety of resources and services and find out about what's going on in our community? So we encourage you to do that if you're thinking that'd be a good idea. Well, Charlie, you mentioned that you were started out rather naive about the responsiveness in the community. What other difficulties did you experience along the way in mounting this first conference?
Well, two come to mind. One, I anticipated. The second, I didn't. I anticipated that because my name is not known at all in the general field of volunteers and professionals for serving the elderly, that I needed some credibility. I also needed some dollars because I wanted to put on our conference fee was $40, and the conference cost was probably closer to $60. So what I did, I started with the places that I knew best, which was the hospital field, and I was able to get the local hospitals, people I knew, one to be what I called a gold sponsor and to put up $500. Well, once I got the two big hospitals in the area, it became a lot easier for me to say, well, look, I've got the two hospitals are gold sponsors. Maybe your organization would be willing. And got up to 20 gold sponsors. And by the way, this conference broke. At the end, we were $200 to the good. So I don't want to do it that close again. Now, but what I think it did do, Marjorie, was seeing the names of the different organizations, including those five people that I had known over the years, helped a great deal in saying, well, this just isn't a fly-by-night. This must have some solidity to it. Now, the second and big problem that I, probably my major problem, was marketing. One, I'm not a marketer. And two, the enthusiasm of my resource people kind of blinded me to reality. You may recall, Margie, because you were part of this, but I had two luncheons, which we called planning luncheons, where we went over different aspects of how it was going to be put together. And you can, volunteers out there in the world, you can do those and just tell them to bring their own lunch. And I find these folks quite willing to do that. Mm-hmm. But they were so enthusiastic when I said, well, you know, how do we get the word out? And I remember one woman whom I admire a great deal said, Charlie, your thing is going to be sold out with a month after you publish it. And that didn't happen. About 6 weeks before, I think I had about 10 people signed up. Yeah. So what I did, learning, I guess, marketing in panic, was I turned to those 70 people. I sent them each anywhere from 50 to 100 registration forms, which really was an outline of an agenda of the meeting, and said, you're the sales team. Please go sell. And then I did kind of weekly bulletins where I tried to put in humorous things that occurred to me as I went out doing marketing. I did one one-on-one marketing, and the woman looked at me and she said, you think I'm elderly? And I said, oh, of course not. This is for your mother. But I didn't make a sale. So the marketing really was a challenge I wasn't aware of, and probably would have done a lot better had I gotten some good marketing assistance up front.
Yeah. Well, and I would add to that that the little bit that I have done in seminars for caregivers, it seems as though caregivers, and I'm one of them, and you are as well, I think that especially in the really dark days, the caregivers are quite reluctant and shy to go out and to mix with others, to perhaps they may perceive it as, oh, I don't want to tell tales away from about my family away from home. And then there's, of course, just the practical aspect of needing to stay at home with a patient or a loved one. So all of those forces, in addition to what you describe as your lack of marketing skills, I mean, are really the challenges for the future. Figuring how to really show benefits to caregivers in particular that will get them to come out and see the myriad of resources that are out there.
True, very true.
Yeah,
and there are a lot, but sadly, most places in the country, you're going to, if you're in need or your family member is, you're going to wind up piecing this together on your own.
Yes, exactly. So the first conference was over. It was wonderful. I was there for both days, as Charlie mentioned, both days, the Friday and the Saturday. Was there anything that in particular surprised you about pulling all of these things together, other than the marketing issue? Once the conference was over, what was your takeaway or your surprise from that?
Well, I guess my biggest surprise, Marjorie, was I put out a call to the first. We did a fairly precise evaluation of the conference, and the grades that people gave it were just, you know, were all at the top. So that was very pleasing. We also did something with a very talented woman, Annette Kelly, helped me create kind of an inventory that each person was asked to fill out when they came in, and it kind of paralleled the topics of the conference. Are you aware of living wills, et cetera, et cetera? And what her analysis was, there's a fair amount of knowledge out there, but when you ask them about actions they've taken, very low response. So getting people to move from, I know, to, yes, I will do it, maybe it shouldn't have been a surprise, but that was an interesting finding.
Interesting.
A second that I found, Marjorie, was we had a follow-up meeting with the 72 folks invited, maybe half of them came, and I some of them said this out loud, but I heard, and these were mostly professionals, some full-time volunteers, saying, this was wonderful for me to see some of my colleagues. I work so hard, or I caregive so much, I feel like I'm down in a well. And now I had a chance to reach out and touch some people I haven't seen in years and renew friendships, contacts. And it was almost like a therapy session. So that was a big surprise to me.
Isn't that? That is so interesting. And it's so important, I think, to realize, even for professionals, the need to get together and confirm for one another the importance of finding new and better ways to work with aging populations. I was at the Aging in America conference back in April, and just being together with professionals, as you say, is so important in being able to then go back and help in your community and help your the caregivers in your community. That's very interesting. So so what I'd like for you to do before we move to the future for this group and what you're planning on doing this fall, let's just recap for people. I'm a person out there, and I want to start such a conference. What are like the two or three top things to keep in mind to make this happen?
Well, you know, some of the simple things, I guess I learned something about conference planning. One, I did have some very valuable, I guess you would call it administrative support from my former organization, the Florida Hospital Association. There is a lot of paperwork or administrative details, like how you register people, how you collect the money. To have that set up ahead of time is useful. And I suspect, you know, many of your listeners have a contact with an organization that would be quite willing to take on this kind of challenge. The second, I would say, is talk it over with some friends, and particularly friends or colleagues who are in the field. I was surprised, Marjorie, when I would ask, well, who do you know who could talk on anyone? And I'd give my little list of eight topics. Frequently, the same names kept coming out over and over again. there was certainly a knowledge network. And the third thing, be prepared to be overwhelmed by dedicated people. I mean, these folks, many of them with a nursing background who have moved beyond that, have just a giving heart, and I came away very much enriched by the people I was meeting and interacting with.
That's true.
I think it can be done any place. Aim small. Just try it within your social group,
exactly.
your YMCA or your temple or whatever.
Yep. Those are terrific tips because, you know, to think you started on this, well over 2 years ago for the first conference. And last Sunday or just two days ago in the New York Times, there were multiple articles on aging, caregiving, things that you would not have seen 2 years ago.
Yes.
So to your point about people who have enthusiasm and interest in, there are going to be many more of those people at this point in time in your community who will be there to help. So, well,
and
moving forward,
one,
I know that... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to make one added point. I was going to do this conference strictly with work groups or work sessions and no keynote speaker. Along the way, I was put in touch with Dr. Dennis McCullough, who is the author of the very useful book, My Mother, Your Mother. And I did move and invite him to be our keynote speaker, which added something to the cost of the conference. But I want to encourage your folks out there. You really don't need a keynote speaker. You need somebody who's willing to glue the thing together, and that's you.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. And thank you for bringing up Dr. McCullough, because I had him on this very show a year ago, last October, and some of our listeners may remember what a terrific and delightful person he is.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that. Well, now, this fall, I believe it's November the 8th, we're going to have another conference, and you're calling this the Unconference. And I just think this is terrific. So tell our listeners, it's going to have to be briefly.
I'll talk fast. the kind of the core group folks that I was working with, I started to propose a second conference, learning from the old one, first one, that would again showcase services. And I kept getting this pushback, and finally I said, okay, so what you really want is you want space where you and your colleagues can get together and in semi-organized fashion reflect about what might be coming down in the future, and two, where you can share your ideas and concerns. And I said, that's great, but I want to tell you, one, that's way beyond my knowledge base, and two, way beyond my comfort level. But I'll give it a shot. And what I did was I went to two gentlemen who live and work here locally, Ken Peach and Bob Kodzis. Both of these gentlemen have healthcare in their background, but they are really very good in conferences and things like that. And they have really created this conference, which will start with scenario planning, very brief, 5-10 minute presentations on four different ways the future might look. And we're talking 5 years out. People will then go to a workshop based on some color coding. That's the way these gentlemen work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they will say, okay, if we face a future where all funds have been cut in half, how do we deal with that? And and another one is going to be on high technology, et cetera. And then they'll come
this
back.
I am sorry. I'm going to have to stop it there. I'm so sorry, Charlie. But I think in that little bit, you have whetted the appetites of our listeners. And I think these are topics that our listeners will be hearing about, particularly in the next few months or after this conference is over, to hear about what people thought about what's going to happen in 5 years. That is so interesting. That's great.
Very exciting.
It is. Well, yeah, I hate to end the show. 30 minutes goes by so quickly. But I want to invite all of you as listeners to tune in again next week when Susan Bida will be interviewing Dr. Gail Lowenstein on the topic of holistic medicine and how it can assist us in better healthcare management. That will be on August the 7th at 2 p.m. And thanks again, Charlie. I know that you're going to be back on the program again talking about how these community efforts of pulling together can really help people become more aware and, to your point earlier, get them to apply and use some of the things that they're thinking about.
Thank you. It'll be a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you to our listeners. And you'll hear from us again next month on Caregiver and Physician Conversations on Tuesday, August 28th. I'll be interviewing Dr. John Guarneri, the lead physician for this program and the chairman and director of healthcare and spirituality at Florida Hospital. Thanks again to everyone, and goodbye. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.